And now back to Farmcast Radio with your host, Brian Ulmer.
Welcome back to Farmcast Radio. My guest once again is Colorado State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg.
And Smithfield Foods in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, other pork packing plants have been shuttered. In fact, Jerry, with the number of hogs that a pig producer can produce each year, they're already euthanizing hogs because they have nowhere to go. In fact, there's some that are euthanizing them when those sows are farrowing because they already know they can't take any more hogs on. And then you got, they're restricted to how many numbers they can have on a pork farm at one time in the CAFO rules. So this is a very serious situation, and let's hope they get the packing plants up and running in all the sectors within the livestock industry. You know, back on April 17th, Governor Jared Polis announced a mandatory mask executive order. Wanted to get your thoughts on yet another mandatory restriction by the government.
Here's part of the issue. When government does a one-size-fits-all for the entire state, that becomes a problem. And that's one of the reasons us rural legislators drafted the letter we did for local control. When you have a massive mandate from either the federal level, we hate it. This governor hates when a feds mandate something to us. And likewise, our local communities do not like when the state government mandates and tells us what they think is best for us, especially someone that lives in a urban area that doesn't understand rural parts of the state. It becomes a huge, huge challenge on any mandate when it's not controlled by your local elected officials who actually live and work next to the neighbors that are affected by those mandates.
I did have one thing to mention, Jerry, in regards to Governor Polis' last press conference. He mentioned that folks, if they don't want their stimulus checks, they could donate it to the Help Colorado Now program. But there's a lot of us in rural Colorado that probably have the same idea I do. I'm not so sure I want to give to that program because I'm not sure what he's going to do with the money when it's all said and done.
Well, and that's a great question, Brian, and I've always been an advocate of buying locally. I can tell you that I am using my stimulus check. Let's call them huge tips to the businesses that I do business with, that I have missed doing business with. They get a $50 tip or a $100 tip when I stop in there. That, from my perspective, is the best way. I didn't need that stimulus money. My businesses that I do business with do. So I am willing, and I think that is a more appropriate way. If you don't need to use your stimulus money, share it with those businesses that you do business with that were closed down that need the help.
I would completely agree with that statement. Thank you very much for that comment on that, Senator Sonnenberg. And we have another mandate that has a deadline coming up April 26th. That's Governor Polis' stay-at-home order. Do you think he's going to extend that, Jerry, based on what you know? And also taking a look at that three-stage process for reopening America that the president and the coronavirus task force have issued?
I think he'll extend at least some of it. I hope he relieves some of the regulation and mandates, but I would not anticipate him removing all of the mandates April 26th and moving forward. And that's another thing we should probably talk about. Some of the regulations that are in place. You talked about CAFOs, the permitting process. Those should be streamlined during this process and allow businesses a fast track to reopen, to permit, to license, and not only businesses, people that want to come to our state and work and help get things going again. A burdensome licensing and regulation system would not be helpful. Part of our letter also asks for those things to be dealt with to fast track, to help businesses and maybe even remove the fees associated with creating a new license or regulation or permit. And that includes oil and gas. We ought to be fast tracking permits for oil and gas to help get the state and the energy that we need back back on track.
I participate in the press conferences on the national level each and every day that I can. Also, the Tuesday, Thursday press conferences from the CDPHE, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, and Governor Polis's Monday, Wednesday, Friday press conferences. However, it seems to me like in the state level, there's differences between the numbers that are being released, or can we trust the data that's being released to us based on the hospitalizations and the COVID-19 death codification?
And there's a number of different factors that are included in those numbers. Is everybody reporting? Are hospitals that have zero cases, are they reporting that they have zero cases, or are they just being left off the grid? Are they all providing the details and the data that is necessary to make those decisions? It doesn't matter what you look at. You have to look at the numbers and utilize common sense to figure out what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. And it doesn't matter if I'm doing a cash flow for my farm and ranch, or if we're using these type of numbers and statistics to model a plan forward based on the damage this virus is doing. So to answer your question, you should trust the numbers. But you also have to remember, as you trust those numbers that you have, that it may be a little incomplete, and we still have to allow room for those type of adjustments. I mean, we don't know how many people until just recently were actually being released from the hospital. We honestly don't know. Some of the counties vary because some of the counties were able to do more testing than other counties. They may show more positive for the virus than other counties, but there are some counties that didn't have the equipment, so they only tested, or didn't have the testing kits, so they only tested those that were viable or absolutely had to be tested. So those numbers you have to keep in mind to see how things are actually panning out and the trends that we actually have happening.
Well, it seems like they're gearing up for even more worse times ahead here in Colorado. You got the ranch in Loveland being set up as the COVID hospital. You've got the convention center in Denver. They're putting homeless people in the National Western Stock Show buildings down there. But who's getting left behind in this? It seems to me like it's rural hospitals, Jerry.
Well, absolutely. And the truth is, I honestly haven't seen individual data from my rural hospitals out here to see how many they're actually dealing with. I know the hospitals in rural Colorado, quite frankly, are empty. They have rooms available, and they're actually furloughing medical workers, nurses, those type of people, because they don't have the patients, they don't have people to take care of. And it just it blows my mind that we're in a serious problem with the virus, with COVID-19, and we're laying off healthcare workers.
Coming up in the final segment of Farmcast Radio this weekend, I'll wrap up the interview with Colorado State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg.
We'll be back right after these messages. To find out more about Farmcast Radio and catch up on the latest news in agriculture, visit barnmedia.net.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
The Colorado Beef Council has created a new online directory to help connect Colorado farms and ranches that sell beef with consumers who want to buy it. Here's Executive Director Todd Engley.
You know, we raise some of the country's best beef in this state, and Colorado consumers really deserve to have that opportunity to directly take advantage of that.
Check out the Colorado Beef Directory by visiting the Colorado Beef Council's website at cobeef.com. This message brought to you by Colorado beef producers and their $1 per head beef checkoff.
First Farm Bank was founded by farmers.
they envisioned a bank that worked like they do. A bank that actually makes decisions locally, not in some big headquarters several states away. A bank that's available when you need it. That's why First Farm Bank drive-ups are open 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8:30 until noon on Saturday. That's also why First Farm Bank offers web and mobile banking apps giving you 24-hour access to your accounts. And we do the little things, like getting to know your name. You don't have to be a farmer to appreciate that. So whatever your profession, we invite you to stop by one of our locations, 127 22nd Street and 2939 65th Avenue in Greeley, 931 West Main Street in Sterling, or 501 East 8th Avenue in Yuma. Find out what we mean when we say hometown values and hometown strong. First Farm Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Ag Fact of the Day. From the high plains to the mountain ranges and in between, over 1 million head of beef cattle are raised in Colorado, making us the fourth largest beef producer in the nation. This Ag Fact is courtesy of the Colorado Corn Farmers Checkoff Dollars and the Colorado Corn Administrative Committee.
Do you dream of owning your first farm or ranch? With assistance from your local bank and the Colorado Ag Development Authority, your dream can become a reality. Visit your local banker, check us out at cadafarmloan.com, or call Jim Rubing at 303-815-9543 for details.
The Colorado Livestock Association would like to recognize those livestock producers who go above and beyond to keep their families and employees safe on their operations. This year's Safe Farm Award winners are Bamford Farms of Haxton, Bella Holsteins of Plantville, Christensen Brothers of Weldona, Dvorak Feeders of Burlington, McCleary Farms of Sedgwick, D&D Feedlot West, Iliff, and Penny Family Farms in Burlington. Colorado Livestock Association safety group members are committed to creating safe workplaces for their family members and employees. For more information, visit ColoradoLivestock.org.